Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Awesome. Let's go to Acts 1. Acts 1. God's just been placing on my heart not a desire to copycat the Acts church, but to hunger for what they hungered for. To hunger for the presence of the Holy Spirit, to hunger for His power in our lives, to see Him at work in every area of our lives. I was sharing how when Moses selected leaders or told Joshua to select leaders, he gave this criteria. But when the Church of Acts selected leaders, they said, look for people filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're going to see all sorts of things, if we're going to have people that are active in helping or transforming the lives of others, that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with His presence. Turn to the person next to you, say, you too. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And then in verse 14, it says, all of these with their minds in full agreement. There's that, can you see that word arrayed coming out? With their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves to steadfastly pray, waiting together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So the disciples were together. There were about 120 of them with the woman, and they had one mindset. They had one goal. Together, we're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. There were 120 gathered that had one desire: to see the Holy Spirit outpour, to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on their lives, because everything counted on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right now, everything in our lives counts on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everything, everything, every problem you can think of going on right now in your life or in the nation or wherever, we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be in one accord in this room, saying we're going to pray until we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to do what other churches have done before or do what they did in the book of Acts. We're going to trust the Holy Spirit to really pour out in this place so powerfully. We've got to come hungry, knowing that right now, if I grab the mic, if I'm leading worship, if I'm singing, if I'm playing piano or playing drums or sitting in this room worshiping and singing as a congregation, that there's something that's going to take place, because we are in one accord, desiring the Holy Spirit to be poured out. In whatever way that looks, let's not be afraid for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. That means we've got to get our minds out of the way. Our preconceived ideas of what the Holy Spirit looks and feels like. We've got to open up our hearts to respond fully to His presence so that He comes and works through us. But go to Isaiah 54. It's in the Old Testament, if you don't know. I make that joke and then I can't find it in my Bible. Watch. What did I say? Isaiah 54. Verse 13. There's a promise that says, all your children, anyone praying for children in this room? All your children, and in brackets, all your spiritual children, shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to His will. And great shall be the peace and the undisturbed composure of your children. Wow, what a promise. What a promise. If you're thinking about your children, if you're praying for your children, moms in the room, dads, it says all of your children, all of your children shall be, will be disciples taught by the Lord. Now, I'm looking at that verse and I'm reading Acts 1 in a different way, because in that room was Jesus' mother. She was with them in the room. They were her children. I hope you. Sometimes you can feel something more than you can say it. Because on the cross, in John 19, Jesus says something very interesting just before he dies. He says, John, behold your mother. And Mary, behold your son. John wasn't Jesus' brother. And he says, behold your son. And then it says, and from that day, John took Mary into his own home as if she were his mother. That's why she was gathered with them in the upper room, because she came to be part of what was happening in her children's life. She came to be a part of it. So there she is in the room, and she's seeing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit start to take place. And she's seeing that promise that says, all of your children will be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and the undisturbed composure of your children. So when you're making decisions about what school your kids must go to, or what university they must go to, what you can pray for is pray that the Holy Spirit guides them, that the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, so that they will be composed and have peace. Not composted, composed, and have peace, his peace. Why? Because they are going to transform nations. See, that group of 120 transformed the world. They were the first apostles. And believe it or not, there are always first-time apostles. You sitting in this room, if you decide you're gonna do everything by the power of the Holy Spirit, you get to lead something that has never been led before. You get to carry something that has never been carried before. All our hope is in Jesus, but those who live in the fullness of his glory, manifest his glory, bring the fullness of God to our world, to the earth. So here's the promise. Powerful, eh? So now I'm reading this, and I'm also reading in 1 Chronicles 12, Justin, page 472. One Chronicles 12, and David, I don't know where my head is today. David has just become king. And it says in 1 Chronicles 12, it's the story of all these men of honor and of power gathering to him, numbering in their thousands. And it starts to list, this guy is the leader of this group of people. And in that group, there are 50,000. Listen to this, verse 33. Just of Zebulun, 50,000 experienced troops, fitted with all kinds of weapons and instruments of war that could order and set the battle in array. Men not of double purpose, but stable and trustworthy. Men of composure. These guys in the army were filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine an army coming onto the field, numbering in their 50,000s. Number one, they have the best, latest technological advancements in battle. Number two, they're filled with the Holy Spirit and confidence. Just think, men, not of double purpose, but stable and trustworthy. They were able to set the... Now, listen to... They are able to set not the army in array, the battle in array. Think of a classic battle scene in the movies. All the horses and the spears and the cannons and men running around. It never looks organized. These guys have the power to go into battle and determine the direction of the battle. To set the battle in array. We often have things that we consider chaos. God says you can set it in array. These were the kinds of men that came to David. Somewhere it speaks about the lesser man that came to David was equal to 100 or was over 100 men. The lesser man, the man least in the kingdom, was better than 100 men without the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? At the same time, parallel to that is the book of Acts and 120 gather, waiting for power. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, I want to say they too were equal together. Or each one, the least of them were the 100. Because now we don't do things anymore. With battle, we do things by His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. So those who carry the Holy Spirit, who are courageous with the Holy Spirit, who are powerful in the Holy Spirit, are better than 100, at least, or up to, or above thousands. Does that make sense? I listened to my own sermon. I'm like, that's not good English. But it came out. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're more powerful and more impactful than 100 people at least without. That's why Jesus could say, he who is least in the kingdom is even greater than John the Baptist. He who is least, just turn to the person next to say, at least I'm in the kingdom. He who is least in the kingdom, he who is filled with the Holy Spirit, is better than at least 100 people without. Think about what 100 people can do without the Holy Spirit. That's you with the Holy Spirit. If you're obedient to His voice. If you're obedient to His will. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come and then He's there and then you just keep going on. No. You will be His disciple. That's the promise. That's the promise here. You will become all your children will be disciples. Obedient. But powerful. Isn't that good? Now I've got to find out where to go. Isaiah 54. Let's go back there. 1 Chronicles spoke about the men being sincere and perfect in heart. And over here, that's what it means in Isaiah 54:13. But I want to go to the beginning of Isaiah 54. And then go a little, let's go into Isaiah 53. When you read Isaiah 53, it's something I've shared here before. So if you've heard this, you know what I'm going to say. But if you haven't, this will be new to you. I was once at a I was in a session with someone, and they spoke to me about how the Holy Spirit often represents the maternal nature of God. How the Holy Spirit, if God represents the Father and Jesus represents the Son, but we are His children, so He kind of represents a brother figure in our life. The Holy Spirit often represents the maternal nature of God. And when she was saying that to me, I the words "behold your mother" just boomed in, and I'm like, I understand something, but I can't explain it. I don't know what I'm feeling. I understand the truth. Something's been revealed, but I can't explain it. And then one day I was sitting and I'm reading Isaiah 53, and it goes into 54, and it just jumped out. So Isaiah 53 is a prophetic picture of Jesus dying on the cross, written in the past tense. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, Isaiah wrote the prophetic picture of Jesus being crucified. And you know these verses. It says, "For the servant of God," verse 2, "grew up like a tender plant. He has no form or comeliness that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected, forsaken by men. A man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows and pains, yet we considered him stricken, afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes we are made whole." That's the prophetic picture of Jesus. And then in verse 12, at the end of 53, it says, "Therefore I will divide a portion with the great kings, and he will divide the spoil with the mighty, because he has poured out his life unto death, and let himself be regarded as a criminal and be numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." So it says, "Therefore I will divide him." And prophetically, the soldiers divided his clothes. In John 19, you can read how they divided his clothes. And the very next word that comes out of his mouth as they divide his clothes is, "John, behold your mother." And then he died. And here is the same picture in Isaiah 53, and then Isaiah 54 verse 1 starts. I want you to see, it's as if Isaiah 53 and 54 are being read out as Jesus is dying on the cross. Because it says in Isaiah 54 verse 1, "Sing, O barren one, who did not bear, break forth and singing, and cry aloud, you who did not travail with child. For the spiritual children of the desolate one will be more than the children of the married wife, says the Lord." Here Jesus is saying, "Behold your mother." Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will be spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, making the desolate cities to be inhabited. And on Mother's Day, we often have mothers who have children, but we have mothers who've never had their own children. And yeah, God is saying, your children, your spiritual children, will be more than those who've had physical children. But he's not just speaking to mothers who've never had children. He's speaking to those who have been forsaken. You've been left behind. You've been abandoned. You've got something that you've got a promise. It's your children, your spiritual children, that will be more. And this paints a picture really of the church. And there's Jesus, he's dying on the cross, and he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? And I was sitting with someone a month ago who has been in an abusive home and has been rescued from that abusive environment. And chatting and just going, he looks at me and he says, can you lead me to Jesus? And I said, I can. Did you know that Jesus bore all of the pain, even the grief of being forsaken by a father? That he cried out on the cross and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? In Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains. Jesus carried the grief even of being forsaken by our loved ones. Even of being forsaken by people most dear to us. Even of being let down by people most dear to us. Now, I asked Bernie if I can share some of her story. Bernie, just wave. You don't get to know someone until you have dinner with them. And they invited us to dinner and they started to share their story. And my heart was just filled with so much love for this couple sitting there. Bernie grew up in an orphanage. She says that age 5, they ate out of dustbins to survive. Her sister, though, got adopted. Bernie never did. Only met her sister properly, had proper relationship as they became adults. But Bernie has never had her own children. And one day she's sitting on the bus, and there's Lizantha. Lizantha, you wave. Huh? That's Bernie's daughter. Bernie met her daughter when her daughter was already 21 years old. In tough situations. Listen, they were on the bus. They didn't have their own cars, their own... I'm sitting there, I'm going, we grew up totally differently. I think I caught a taxi once. Bernie recognized Lizantha and said, I want to take you under my wing. I want to love on you. I want to love on you as a mother. There's Paco. Paco's sitting next to Bernie. They also took Paco under their wing. Found people that they love, and today they're successful. Today they've journeyed to a place where, I mean, Lizantha's nearly doing her doctorate. Why? Because someone, well, firstly, because God's love is so big. But someone responded to that call of love. Someone said, even though I've been forsaken, I don't want to, I'm just saying, this is a story of the potential that when God comes on our lives, we have the power, the ability to take someone else under our wing. To say, I'm gonna take you under my wing. Your spiritual children will be more than those you've birthed yourself. And I sat at the table and I'm like, God, this is such a good story. And God, it's exactly what our world needs. We need the kind of love where we're able to... Oh. God just said to me, we're going into a season of discipleship. But we need mothers in the house. We need mothers in the house. We need mothers who are able to say, come here, I'm going to love you regardless of what you've been through, where you come from. Bernie's not mothering the whole world. She's got three special kids that she mothers. But God's saying, if we're going to do discipleship, it's not going to be just do this, do that. It's also... Man, I just want to. I want to love you. I want to love you like a mother can. Come on, I know this wife of mine, Bernadine. Man, if she has to choose between her kids and me, she's going to choose the kids. There's a bear there. You know we sing. There's a lion inside of you. It's going to come. There's a bear inside there. Told you, if I open the fridge and there's four things packed together, I may not touch it. I will lose my hand. It's better that you cut it off than sin. That's what the world's needing. There's people that have never had spiritual love. There's people that have never experienced what it feels like to have a bear defend on their case. A bear provide, do whatever it takes to provide and care. And we've got to first do that for our own kids, for our own children, for our people in this room, for our body. We've got to love and protect each other. And then love and protect those that come into our care. It's because of God's grace. Here's the promises in Isaiah 54. For the spiritual children of the desolate one will be more. Come on, God. God says He will enlarge us. He will enlarge our tent. Now this is often the provision scripture. He will enlarge your tent. This is a promise for mothers who have been forsaken. Yes, thanks God, you will enlarge my tent. Why? Because there's children coming. Say amen, Uncle Ed. For you will spread abroad to the right. Yes, God. Why? Because there's children coming. But don't fear the kids. Verse 4. Fear not. You shall not be ashamed. This is promise number 3. You won't be confounded. You won't be depressed. For you will forget the shame of your youth. And you won't remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Promise number 4, verse 10. For though the mountains depart and the hills are shaken, my love and my kindness won't depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. Promise number 5, verse 12. And I will make your windows, your eyes, sparkling gates of... Like, can we just see some people with life in their eyes? Your spiritual children shall be disciples. Promise number 6, verse 17. No weapon. Ooh, there's another popular one we like to quote. No weapon formed against you. Well, why? Because there's children coming. It's all part of the same promise. It's all part of the same verse. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that will arise against you in judgment shall show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the righteousness which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart and give to them. Isaiah 66 speaks this about the church. Verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. Jerusalem is now the church. All you who love her, rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn with her, that you may nurse and be satisfied, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance and the brightness of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. Then you will be nursed, you will be carried on her hip, and lovingly bounced, lovingly trotted on her, on God's maternal knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You will be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like green and tender grass. And the powerful hand of the Lord shall be revealed and known to be with his servants. That's the promise for the church. Why? Because there's children coming. And every person who is part of that church, who is carried by the Holy Spirit, is greater than 100 men. Why? Because there's children coming. There's children that are being birthed right now in the Spirit. They're out there. They're walking around not even knowing that one day they're going to meet their parents. One day they're going to meet God the Father. They're going to hear the Holy Spirit and be comforted by the Holy Spirit. But it's the church that represents that place. We are the mothership. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we just thank you this morning that you've given us your word, that you speak so clearly to us, that what you give in spirit we can take as a gift. And this morning we choose to wait for your Holy Spirit. We ask that you come in the fullness of power, in the fullness of glory. But Lord, teach us to love like a mother does. Teach us to love in a special way. Teach us to have spiritual children and love them as if they were our own. Father, I pray for every person that deeply desires children. I pray that you will grant them their request and their desire. But I also pray, Father, that you will heal those who have been forsaken. You will heal those who have been forgotten. Father, that you will come and be their Father. Invite them into this place where they can experience the counsel and the comfort of the Holy Spirit in the same way that a mother does. We give you praise this morning. We pray that a miracle goes out in this room today, that hearts are healed, lives are refreshed, and a sparkle comes into our lives, into our eyes, as we desire your presence, your glory. May we just ooze life in your presence.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.